going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at bragworthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is. With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
Come on.
What a gorgeous day out.
Welcome on in to Dana and Parks. Scott will be back on Monday, but Dan and Sam and I are thrilled you have joined us.
Hello.
Once again, hello, my friends, on this spectacular spring day.
Do you have your allergies yet?
I do not. My daughter does. She is full on right in the middle of it.
Yep. Tree pollen.
I know.
That's the big one,
but
right
it's
now.
Okay because the flowers are gorgeous. I told her, babe, roll your windows up. Don't drive around with your windows down. You know, attic fan is not your friend right now. You know the drill. We
I'm
know how to do
you,
this.
Local honey, I'm telling you. I used to be bedridden about this time every single year for a whole week. And hey, listen.
Oh, listen,
I can
to
breathe
your
through my
sniffer.
Nose. It's wild.
And by the way, I noticed you started with Fight Club. We were not going to make this a topic, but we will pass this on because I love our educators. You work harder than anybody out there and you get paid way less than you should.
We don't love these educators.
But yes, we have another educator who is out on $250,000 bond, accused of leading a makeshift child fight club.
Wow.
As it turns out, one of the kids violated the first and second rule of Fight Club.
They spoke about Fight Club. Now, there's one teacher in Florida this week who was arrested trying to get middle schoolers to fight. And then there is this woman who looks like maybe she has made some poor choices in her adult life.
I did not expect it to be a woman.
Really?
Both? I kind of just assumed that it was going to go ahead and be a guy.
Sam, if you look up student fight club arrest, almost all of the teachers are female.
What?
I'm just telling you they are.
What happened to the nurturing trait?
Her name
Knock
is
him out, Timmy.
Mary Morrison. She was arrested 4:46 p.m., right after school. She is a school director. Let me see what age we're talking about here. Prosecutor says she was running what is described as a makeshift child fight club following the emergence of video evidence. A judge on April 21st, that is yesterday, found probable cause to charge the 50-year-old woman with permitting child abuse.
Bye.
She was arrested yesterday, along with three employees, two women and one male. The arrest came after a video of an incident at the school surfaced. According to the prosecutor, the video depicts a teacher instructing one student to strike another in the nether region.
Oh.
That teacher called Morrison, the woman who's been arrested and charged, the ringleader of that particular incident.
That's just dirty.
Listen to this. My God, I know that we need attorneys and we need good defense attorneys, but Bill, honey, honey, honey. Attorney Bill Stanley, representing all four suspects, argued that the affidavit lacked evidence of actual physical injury to the child.
Other than the video of the teacher instructing the student to strike the other one in the nether regions, and I'm assuming they then proceeded to
Yep.
Strike them in the nether regions.
The judge countered this argument saying, I can't believe how we have to explain to men how painful it is to be hit in that area of the body.
Oh, they know.
They have been released on bond. It's still, okay, so it's, the name of the school is Engage, okay.
Oh, they were engaged in fighting.
Describing itself as a unique learning center. Oh my gosh, that teaches, it's a special needs school. Teaches children with autism executive functioning skills that will make them accomplished, goal-driven adults. So
all ages.
All ages. They have about 120 learners. This should go beyond child abuse. There's no way that was the first time this happened.
And not to mention that oftentimes kids end up finding their path to these schools because they have violent outbursts in standard schooling.
Let's also talk about the cost, Sam. How much do you think it costs to send your child with autism to a special school? My God.
Oh, if it's public, it should be just part of the public schooling system.
Unbelievable.
And what were they getting out of this? Were they taking bets? I mean,
they were dumb enough to post it, but thank God that they did. Thank God that they did. Jonesboro?
Arkansas.
Yes.
Okay.
Well, what does that mean, Dan? Well, that makes sense. It happened in Arkansas.
I did say that's probably the most Arkansas story I've heard in a while.
Come on now.
In the newsroom.
Stop it. Hey, coming up at 3 o'clock today, we have a guest in studio. We are thrilled to welcome Billy Brimelcombe back to the program. And from time to time, he will swing in and talk about Thunder Gong, his smash hit fundraiser to raise money for amputees across the world, because in many states, did you know this, prosthetic limb replacements are not considered medically necessary, which means generally over the age of 18, they are not covered by insurance.
And it's not like you get one and use it for the rest of your life. As you grow, as you change, you need new prosthetic limbs.
It can be the cost of a very, 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 very nice car.
Oh, yeah.
Every couple of years. So he's going to come in and talk about that. We have a huge Saturday Night Live alum and celebrity coming to town in a few weeks to help raise money. And I'm thrilled I get to go do that because it's one of my favorites. We're going to save it. I'm not going to tell you who it is.
Are you flexing your VIP?
I am flexing some VIP-ness.
Yes.
Because that event is going to be incredible. Cannot wait for that. And we'll let you know how you can get involved with that as well. We did not talk about this outside of Dan's newscast yesterday, but now that we have a little bit more information, I want to talk to the parents of our teenagers out there today. So you heard at Sam's alma mater, Shawnee Mission South, absolutely devastating news that an 18-year-old and a 17-year-old were killed in a car wreck on their way home from prom.
It was a head-on collision. It was on Metcalf. I thought the story originally said 158th Street. That didn't make any sense to me. It was actually 58th Street,
yeah,
which is right there.
Right here.
Right down the road from the radio station.
Old Overland Park, essentially.
It says that their vehicle crossed over the grassy median. It's not really a center line there. The story said center line. There's grass in the middle. But anyway, they crossed over the median there, head-on collision, and...
So I asked Sam this yesterday off the air. I said, I don't want to talk about this yet. And this was a head-on collision, and those, by nature, are very violent. But the two women that were in the Kia that was struck by these two kiddos walked away.
Yeah, they suffered injuries, but minor injuries.
Minor injuries. And walked away. And I said to Sam yesterday, I just have a feeling that the kids weren't wearing seatbelts. And we're going to talk about that when we come back, because I feel like, I don't know if it's a Midwest thing, if this is happening all over the United States, but, you know, my generation, Dan's generation, we grew up bouncing around in the back seat of the car. In fact, we had a car seat in the back seat that we would sit in, and it wasn't buckled into the seat in any way. And so when my mom and dad would turn, my brother and I would crack up and we would go flinging to the right and flinging to the left. Like in the late 70s, there just wasn't a whole lot of education or rules about what we should be doing with respect to safety in vehicles.
There was a lot of riding around in what was considered the trunk of the station
wagon.
Yeah,
a lot of smoking in the cars, ashes all over you, you know, going down the highway. That's just the way life was. Then we went to this far good extreme and car crash deaths went down, because we all strapped our kids religiously in car seats. We were all so careful about that, to the point that I remember going to a police station to make sure not only that I had a car seat, but that it was installed properly with the right amount of pressure in the exact seat it should be in and forward facing for the appropriate ages. We did all of the things. I am starting to wonder if we are coming back around full circle for some reason. Are our kids not wearing seatbelts?
And if you have a newer vehicle, you have to. I mean, they have made it to the point where those dinging dings are so annoying that if you don't put your seatbelt on, you're going to go crazy in a five-minute drive.
But this was an older car, and I will also ask you parents about the back seat. And are your teenagers, even college kids, are they buckling up when they're in an Uber? And I almost guarantee you the answer is no.
Yeah.
So we're going to talk about what happened at Shawnee Mission South. Their prom, by the way, was at Union Station. And the other question I have about prom, are our kids driving distances to prom? Because that tow story that we had the other day where all of those poor kids had their cars towed from Paola prom, I believe.
It was Paola. They held their prom in Westport.
They drove all the way into Westport.
Yeah. That's a long way.
And I said this, Dan, at the time, Scott was here. I go, they had their kids drive to Westport from Paola? These are Shawnee Mission South kiddos that went to Union Station. You know, that's not the haul from Paola to Westport. It is farther than I would be comfortable having kids drive, not there, but home.
It's a 25-30 minute drive. And you had asked me, do kids still drive to dances, in particular prom? There were a couple of dances I didn't drive to, and that's only because I was in a group that had a party bus. Other than that, I drove myself and my date to every single dance.
We're going to talk about that as well. 913-586-7798. Just from a safety standpoint, let alone a liability standpoint, when this is a school-sponsored function, I am surprised at this day and age that we're having our kids drive those distances. And let me be clear, it was not the distance from Union Station to 50th and Metcalf that caused this wreck. I believe he crossed the center line. We're going to talk about that. One of the quotes I saw from a family member, it says, please, please wear your seatbelts.
Real quick correction, it was Ray Peck prom where they had all the cars towed, not Paola.
913-586-7798. We'll take your calls on this straight ahead. You're listening to Dana and Parks.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Today's podcast is sponsored by Midi Health. At any given time, 61% of adult women say they want to lose weight. But for many, that's easier said than done. If you've had trouble losing weight, don't lose hope. Midi Health uses a deep understanding of women's hormones and a combination of weight loss medications to create a customized plan for each user. Midi Health can help you achieve more effective and sustainable weight loss by addressing hormone imbalances. Midi can also prescribe proven weight loss medications that help you experience reduced appetite and increased feelings of fullness. When paired with hormone optimization, you're not just managing your weight, you're also supporting your body's natural processes, which means you can overcome those weight loss plateaus that in the past have been so difficult to move beyond. So if you're ready to combine the power of hormones with the power of weight loss medications, visit joinmidi.com today. Discover how this innovative approach can lead you to lasting success. That's joinmidi.com.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Sophie. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
All right, let's get right to it. According to the CDC, teenagers as both passengers and drivers have the lowest rate of seatbelt use of any group. That's according to the CDC. And then there was an article, and this was a few years ago in the New York Times, that says most teenage drivers do fasten their seatbelts. But troubling data shows that teen passengers are far, far less likely to buckle up. And we know that motor vehicle crashes are the leading cause of death among our young people in the United States every single year. I think it's like 5,000 deaths and 400,000 injuries.
And a majority of those deaths are from people who are not wearing seatbelts. The National Highway Transportation Safety Administration looked into it in 2023. They found that just under 92% of adults as front seat passengers put on their seatbelt, or at least report putting on their seatbelt. But as you mentioned in that study from the CDC, the younger you are, the less likely you are to buckle up no matter where you are in the car.
And even less likelier if you are in a passenger seat, either front right. passenger or rear. So why is that? Because our town has lost two young people. One of them was set to graduate May 20th. She was a junior. They did not even go to prom together. They all went with friends.
Right.
And then she got in the car with him to leave. He was providing a ride home for her. Neither buckled up. Let's go to Joshua in Warrensburg. Hi, Joshua. Go ahead.
Hello, lady. How are you?
Hi, good. Go ahead.
Number one, I'm just heartbroken. My thoughts are with the families of both of those young people. That's just, it's unbelievable. I was just listening to your quote about the CDC. That baffles me. I don't understand. It's just ingrained in my head that when you get into a vehicle, I hear it in my head, click it or ticket is the first thing that really pops in my mind.
Yeah.
And it's almost like, I was kind of telling Sam earlier, it feels like almost like a safety blanket outside of its security measure. It feels like I'm not going to be able to operate the vehicle correctly if I don't have my seatbelt on. It doesn't make any sense to me.
So I wonder, Joshua, if we have, and thank you for the call, if this has been lost with our kids somewhere in translation, because one of the numbers I'm looking at, Sam, and this was from several years ago, when they asked 13,000 high school students, okay? 13,000 yeah. students, 60% of them reported always using their seatbelt when they're driving. Okay, that means 40%'s not. That is a horrifying number.
Which, by the way, 13,000 is a massive study.
That's a massive study. Yeah. 60% said they always use their seatbelts while driving. That number drops to around 40% if they are passengers. So a lot of teenagers say, yeah, if I'm driving, I buckle up. But if I'm just hopping in the back with friends, I don't.
And maybe it's part of their, you know, routine for getting in the car when they're driving, and they just don't think about it when they're in the passenger seat. We've talked about it before. I'm not proud of it, but I am a prolific not seatbelt wearer, and I've only gotten a few traffic tickets in my life, and one of them was for not wearing a seatbelt.
Will you please put your seatbelt on, Sam, because of math and physics and such? Let's go to Mike in Topeka. Hi, Mike. Go ahead.
Hey, guys. I think another major factor, especially for the younger drivers and going to things like dances and prom and games and such, is driving drowsy. And I think a lot of kids greatly underestimate just how dangerous that is. Even Mythbusters did an episode about driving drunk versus driving drowsy. And I wonder if that was a factor in this accident, especially, you know, when you consider that they crossed the median in order to have the head-on collision if he just fell asleep behind the wheel. And then you add on top of that that they're not wearing seatbelts. I think it's important to, you know, to talk to kids and let them know that if you feel any kind of drowsiness, it is much better to just pull over and call a parent or whoever to let them know, hey, you know, I feel like I'm falling asleep. This is where I've pulled over. I'm going to get some rest, or can you have someone come get me because I'm not safe to drive.
So, and thank you for the call, Mike. It's a possibility, which gets back to why are our kids driving to these events? I remember years ago after string of deaths in the Blue Valley School District, they made a rule that for certain after-school activities, you had to sign a waiver that would state my 16-year-old is allowed to drive with her older brother or allowed to drive with a staff member, like to and from practice.
Yeah.
You had to sign a different waiver if they were allowed with a school-sponsored activity to like drive to a swim meet. They wanted all of those waivers signed in case something happened. The difference with that is a swim meet at the Natatorium in Lenexa during the day, you're probably not going to have kids partying.
Right.
And I'm not saying in this case at all.
And there is no
happened.
Evidence of that.
There's
in this case.
There's no evidence of that.
But it does happen.
I'm asking you from a liability standpoint, why would a school say we are going to hold prom 30 minutes away at a venue where the kids are going to be driving back and forth, where it is possible some of them will be drinking? If my kids came to me and said, look, prom, we're super excited. It's coming up in a couple of weeks, but we're all going to hop in a car and drive to Union Station. I would say absolutely not. Absolutely not. How many times have your kids been heading home in one car and they end up in someone else's car? And so I'm just a little surprised we're having them drive in that way. And maybe you don't want to have it at your high school. I understand that.
And if we're trying to say that kids don't drink at high school events, we're lying to ourselves. There are kids that violate the law.
And again, there's no suggestion in this case that was going on.
Correct.
But when you start talking about Ray Peck kids driving all the way to Westport,
right?
I'm telling you, I would have had an enormous issue with that as a parent. Because of the distance involved and the possibility of drinking. Let's go to Diane. Hi, Diane. Go ahead.
Hi, how are you?
Hi, good.
I was just saying, you know, I don't know about you, but when I was that age, I was invincible. I was immortal. Nothing could hurt me.
Sure.
That's just a mindset of kids that age, and I think that's why they don't wear them until they get older, and then they realize, yeah, I guess things do happen. But for a few years there, nothing's going to hurt you.
But listen to this, Diane. 13,000 kids, again, were surveyed for this. Among the girls, almost 70% wore seatbelts while driving. That number drops to almost 45% when the girls moved out of the driver's seat. There is something about that passenger seat, and I don't know what it is. Like, if I'm driving, I'm going to buckle up. Well, if you're in a wreck going 50 miles an hour without a seatbelt on, you could be dead either way.
Yeah, I don't know what that thought process is. I guess they think, well, you know, if you're the driver and you're wearing a seatbelt, we're all going to be safe. You know, I don't know.
I don't know either. And by the way, for boys, the numbers are even worse. Around 50% say they buckled up as drivers. That number dropped to 38% when they moved to a different seat.
And that runs consistent for the traffic fatalities. About 43% of traffic fatalities are women. The rest, obviously, are men.
Black teenagers were the least likely to buckle up in the passenger seat, according to this study, with 37% reporting seatbelt use compared to 43% of Hispanic and white drivers. They even looked at grades. Students who made A's and B's in school were more likely to buckle up than C students, but there was still a tremendous difference in seatbelt use compared to other drivers.
But to Diane's point, and I was sitting here trying to rack my brain because my mom also ingrained it into my head. I mean, she was the type of mom that would say, oh, sorry, the car won't go into drive until you put your seatbelt on. Because for whatever reason, I was defiant and decided I don't need my seatbelt, even at, you know, the ripe young age that I was at the time. And I was trying to think of why I stopped wearing my seatbelt. And I think it's to Diane's point, I felt invincible. You know, I rode a motorcycle. There's no seatbelts on motorcycles. I was safe there until I wasn't. And even now, I mean, she was talking about feeling invincible. The older I get, like, I catch myself putting it on when I get on the highway now, as if I say that as if that's a bad thing. It's a good thing that I'm doing that. But just today, you know, I turned onto the highway and immediately clicked it.
Good. Please, Sam, start wearing your seatbelt. If you do nothing else for me, wear the seatbelt. 913-586-7798. We will take more calls on this straight ahead. Listen to this. 70% of drivers who were straight A students wore their seatbelts. 70% of drivers who were straight A students wore their seatbelts. Those same A students, when they are passengers, only 50% buckled up. We have got to do a better job of talking to our kids. We're going to talk about that straight ahead.
Definitely the backseat drivers.
Mm-hmm. Stick with us. Welcome on back to Dana and Parks. So I don't want to be naive, but I think I just thought that our teenagers were out there buckling up and doing what they're supposed to be doing, because we are from the generation where we did not grow up belted in. And then there was all of these campaigns out there. We know better. The cars are built better, but we still want to buckle up, even with an airbag. So then we turned around and went crazy and put bubble wrap around all of our children. These were the helmet wearing on bicycle car seat children generation. Yet a whole bunch of them still don't buckle their seatbelts.
And do you think the pendulum swung so far that
yes,
built defiance?
I think it's possible.
Because it was so aggressively hammered into the kid's head that once they hit the teenage years, once they were in the car by themselves, they were like, ah, freedom! I don't have to put my seatbelt on, which is dumb.
Let's go to Dave in Liberty. First in, first up. Hello, Dave. Go ahead.
Hey, Dana. How are you?
Hi, I'm good. Go ahead.
Hey, Sam. Hey, like I was telling Sam, I don't think they're being defiant. I think they're just being kids.
Yeah.
And I have never been an adult in a kid. And I was a kid myself, believe it or not, at one point. But I know when I was in the car, we were constantly moving. If you were in the passenger seat, especially, you'd have to get somebody at something out of the back seat for somebody. You had to take your seatbelt off, and you'd reach around the back seat to get it. Or if there was somebody in the back seat, unlike adults, we can keep seatbelts on and carry on conversations. But kids are face-to-face in their conversations, and so they have to be constantly turning and facing each other when they talk. And so being in that passenger seat and having the seatbelt on, I believe, because I did it when I was a kid, you took it off so you could turn in the seat and you could converse to somebody. Or, like I said, you were getting something out of the back seat.
Right.
And I think that's what happens. I think they may start off with the seatbelt on, but then something comes up and they take it off. And then once it's off, it stays off.
Dave, part of me would just be thrilled they were conversing with one another and they didn't have their nose down in their phones. And then part of me wonders if we don't need to relaunch some sort of education campaign because the numbers are so bad.
There was something else I was thinking about. And by the way, the click it or ticket campaign still goes on every single year. When I was in high school, there was like four random days throughout the year where there would be officers standing at the entrance of the high school.
Right.
And if they saw you without your seatbelt on, even if they saw you coming down the hill and you saw them and put your seatbelt on, they pulled you over right there in the entrance and gave you a ticket. But something else I was thinking about, I took driver's ed, but I had to go to a driver's ed program on my own. I had to pay for it. It was a way that I could get my insurance down because I didn't want to pay so much for insurance.
It's expensive.
The lack of driver's ed being provided in the school.
Oh,
has
yeah.
That played a role?
I took driver's ed at school in the school parking lot over the summer, and our gym teacher and wrestling coach taught driver's ed.
But I think it was like $800 when I took it. I mean, I can only imagine now it's probably $1,200, $1,500. If people can't afford that, they're not going to go do it.
Yeah, but Sam, don't you still know, even without driver's ed, you still understand, especially they understand if they're in the driver's seat, they're putting their seatbelt on. It's in the passenger seat, they don't.
Yeah.
So something in their brain understands it's dangerous. If I'm driving, it's dangerous. What is it about moving over and moving in the back that all of a sudden they think, Now I'm invincible.
I just wonder, because not all parents are helicopter parents. Not all parents are bubble wrap parents. Maybe there is a set of kids out there who were never told. It was never ingrained into their head to put their seatbelt on.
Let's go to Dave in Lenexa. Hey, Dave.
Hey, great, great program. Glad you guys are talking about this sort of thing. It matters. It really does matter. Related is what the last gentleman mentioned. In my mind, the lack of mandatory driver's ed in high schools and mandatory one-hour PE every day are the greatest crimes in America. Another topic. I don't want to sound preachy, but if there's any advice I guess I could give to new parents, it's not a panacea. But when you're looking at giving your 16-year-old a car, and many of us did, don't give them your hand-me-down four-door Nissan Maxima. Everybody wants to give them their hand-me-down car, their big SUV. The best thing you could do for your own child is to get them something like a single-cab a pickup truck with only two seats and their bucket seats. Why? Because you can't slide across a bench seat and you don't have people in the back seat distracting you.
Yep.
So my thought to all parents out there, go get yourself an older S10 beat up old pickup truck with two bucket seats in the front, no back seat. not going to protect them all the time, but it's a move in the right direction.
It's a great point, Dave, and put a bunch of junk in the back bed of the truck because you don't want kids hopping in the back bed either.
He's right. My very first car was an SUV. I was constantly driving my friends around. The very next car that I bought was a two-seater truck.
It's a great idea because, Sam, you know that the incidence of wrecks and fatalities go up with every additional teenager in the car. Mm-hmm. That has been a fact for years. Let's go to Pam in Olathe. Hi, Pam.
Hi, how are you guys?
Good, go ahead.
Well, I'm so glad you're talking about this. I'm very passionate about this topic, and as I was telling Sam, I have two teenage boys. One of them is 19, so he's been driving for a couple years. The other one just turned 17. I agree with previous callers that we are missing driver's ed.
Yeah.
One of the things that I have told my children that I still remember, and I'm in my 50s, I still remember when I took driver's ed, they had a police officer come to our classroom, and he said, "In my 20 years of being a highway patrolman, I have never unbuckled a dead person."
Yep.
And I told my children that. I was like, you may get hurt, but you won't die if you have your seatbelt on, most of, you know. And as I told Sam, when they were little, I told them my car wouldn't start if they didn't have their seatbelt on. My granddaughter knows that. My car doesn't go if you don't have your seatbelt on. I don't care where you're sitting.
Yep. Or Pam, I wonder if you asked all of our teenagers collectively, would you go to Worlds of Fun and get on one of those roller coasters and say, you know what, you don't need to buckle me in? Because the physics of what happened to you in a car crash, certainly a rollover, are identical. And they would look at you like you were crazy. Of course I wouldn't do that.
That's a great comparison because I think they would, most of them, relate to that. And I also think you set an example. You know, just as a mom, I even convinced my mother-in-law, who was in her 70s, she wears her seatbelt now because I was like, Betty, you're in my car. You wear your seatbelt.
Yeah, because you know what, Pam? And I'm glad you did that. Betty becomes a projectile to the rest of us when she does not. Right?
By the way, according to the text line, driver's ed has not really gone up in price. $500 if you go to JCCC for driver's ed.
Do you remember when we were in high school, they would bring a crashed car and park it on the front lawn of the high school for like a week during, you know, click it or ticket week or whatever.
We had that at my high school as well.
This is what the car crash looks like, but I think the kids still are like, not going to happen to me, not going to happen to me.
Right.
Let's go to Sean in Warrensburg. Hey, Sean.
As a teacher, I have seen, unfortunately, too many of my students in caskets because of the same thing.
Oh, Sean.
I think that we have bubble wrapped our kids to the point where they feel invincible. I know you, Dana, Sam, I, Scott, we were invincible, but we grew up in a different generation. We rode bikes without helmets, without elbow pads, without knee pads. And when we were thrown off the bike, we learned the lesson. We learned what asphalt felt like. All right?
Right.
Now these kids have everything bundled and buckled and protected that when they get in a car, they feel invincible because they're encapsulated. And they've got side curtain airbags and airbags and passenger airbags. They think they're invincible. And the other thing I'd say, going back to school, is as a teacher, nowadays we have these campaigns where we do wreck the car, we bring it in, we stage this event, but it's like once every 4 years. I have not seen the Highway Patrol come in yearly and do the slideshow with the faces blurred out, but the blood and the gore are there to hit the kids with the impact, you will not survive. We've cut that out, just like we've cut out driver's ed, and we need to bring those things back because too many of these kids are not surviving teenage years because they feel invincible and we have encapsulated them.
And really, Sean, at the end of the day, the only statistic that matters is they are the most likely set to be in a wreck, the teens. They are also the least likely to wear the seatbelt, and that's a deadly combination. Last thing I'll ask you, Sean, as an educator, is your district having kids drive to prom? I still can't get over the fact that our kids are driving 30 minutes to go to prom.
Yes, in my district, students, if they're able, they can drive to prom. And, you know, a lot of kids, let me just say, the district I was in previously made it a big deal to show off your car as you pulled in. you know, your date got out, you showed off your car.
Yeah.
It was a big spectacle, almost like the red carpet. And I think that's a mistake because it's encouraging that action. And then they go home at the end of the night when they're distracted, when they're tired, if they've had anything to kind of, you know, put the buzz on or whatever.
Yep.
I think it's a mistake.
Sean, are you alluding to the fact that they were having like sideshows in front of the school?
No, just like
not sideshows.
Presenting.
They would pull up and, you know, the gentleman would get out of the car, let his date out because he borrowed dad's Corvette.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
The car dealer, the local car collector allowed him to borrow their car. And it was a big deal because it was, you know, not a show, a burnout or whatever it's called, sideshow, but it was almost like the red carpet.
I thought you were saying they were doing donuts. I'm like, man, I want to go to that school.
That sounds like one hell of a prom. We'll be back to wrap this up here in just a moment. 913-586-7798. You are listening to Dana and Park. Stick with us. Welcome back. Let's wrap things up before we welcome our guest in studio in the 3 o'clock hour. Lucy, you have been holding the longest. Welcome on in. Go ahead.
Hello. Hello. My dad started teaching me how to drive when I was about 15, 16. He told me that if anybody was going to be driving or riding with me in my car, they needed to have their seatbelt. And I said, well, what if they take it off? He said, you make them get out of the car.
So oh.
About a year later, I was driving with my friend. We'd driven all the way out to Kansas from Lee Summit to get a friend's cousin, and he decided that he was too cool to wear his seatbelt. And we were riding on 435 and probably about state line or something, and he decided to take his seatbelt off. He was sitting in my front seat. And I said, you know what? The rule is your seatbelt or you get out. And he said, well, what are you going to pull over and make me get out? And I said, I don't really care about your health, but I don't want to pay for a new windshield, so I'm pulling over. I pulled over on 435, and he got scared because he thought he was going to have to get out of the car. And he put that thing on faster than snot.
You know, and it's not like you were asking him for a kidney, Lucy. My goodness. Lee out of Staley, wrap us up. Hello, Lee. Go ahead.
Hey there. Most high schools give higher seniors, juniors, sophomores a parking space.
Yep.
And they should, if they require you to take driver's ed, so you got to take it because you want the parking space. And where you have the days that you emphasize that, like you have a policeman at the parking lot driving in, somebody sees you don't have a parking space, a seatbelt fastened, guess what you lose? Your parking space. That would be a pretty strong incentive.
That isn't the worst idea, Lee. Those kids love that parking spot. And I can hear the school now saying, then how do they get to school and where do they park? And
right.
then they've got parents calling going, I have to work. I can't drive my 17-year-old to school. Maybe they walk.
Well, maybe you should have told your kid to put his seatbelt on.
Yeah. We are not going to make this a topic today. The whole story ticks me off. But we have a Dollar General shoplifting suspect who was taken to the hospital after crashing idiot. It launched a high-speed chase.
Now, when you had first mentioned this story to me, I shared your rage. If you steal $50 worth of stuff from a Dollar General...
I don't know that it's possible to steal $50 worth of anything from a Dollar General.
You know, grab a bag... You can try.
She did back into a squad car as she was trying to leave.
Many times.
So.
That is a threat on a police officer.
Is.
That is why they chase. They would not have chased had it just been simple shoplifting.
Sugar Creek, by the way, chased all the way into Kansas City, Missouri. Ended up putting down stop sticks. I think it was a woman. She sped down I-70, drove over the stop sticks, tried to exit at Paseo, lost control. The van rolled. She has been arrested and taken to a hospital.
Thankfully, no one else was injured.
Thank
We've
God.
Heard
the
these
officer,
stories
the officer
end.
Was not hurt.
Yeah.
She did back into the squad car. But you're right. When I first saw that they chased all the way into Kansas City from a theft case at Dollar General.
I mean, I think we saw something similar one time in Lenexa. It was like somebody suspected of stealing a credit card, and initially we had the same reaction. How are you chasing on that? And then you read further down in the story and realize, oh, they rammed a patrol car at like 45 miles an hour.
Not okay.
Oh, now we're chasing.
Not okay.
All of a sudden.
We have a guest in studio in the 3 o'clock hour to talk about a very special fundraiser coming up in Kansas City with a very famous Saturday Night Live alum. Stick with us for that. The founder of Steps of Faith Foundation, Billy Brummelcombe, will be in studio with us straight ahead.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at KMBZ.com.